Hello, hello. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Touch the Base Podcast. It's a snow day for me. It snowed, so I'm staying home. Yeah, I still do that, even though I'm not in elementary school anymore. Pete Alonso signed with the Mets. Oh my gosh, who would have ever guessed that, right? Right? I don't know. A lot of people have already covered this. It happened probably, what, 22 hours ago? 18 hours ago, somewhere in there. It was around last night, yesterday evening for West Coast. So let me just start off with this. Pete Alonso signs, he's returning to the Mets for a 2-year deal for $54 million. Okay. Just for context. There you go. ESPN, Jeff Passan interview. They talked to him about 2-year, $54 million. Okay. Does this not sound very familiar? Maybe something that happened last year that was considered at the time a failure on the Boris side of things. At least it should be considered that. Let's go back to 2024, 23, I guess, at 23-24 offseason. The Giants signed Matt Chapman to a 3-year, $54 million deal. I understand there's one more year there. He gets signed for less. He's a third baseman. He doesn't hit as many home runs. He's a defensive guy. He's not an offensive guy. I mean, he could still do offense. Let's not lie. Like, Matt Chapman is still a solid player. But he was looking for, like, this super long deal. And what he ended up getting in the end, obviously during this offseason, he opted out and they didn't opt out. They extended him for 6 years. He got the money, the purse that he wanted, right? Well, looking at this, as a result from last year, he could earn $20 million for the first year, for year one, okay? Pete Alonso is going to earn the same thing, but because he wanted his money up front in the first year, they gave him a $10 million signing bonus. So Pete Alonso is getting $30 million for the first year, and then it drops off from there, whereas Matt Chapman gets $38 million for his second year, which would have been this season. Of course, he signed an extension. He's getting way more money. And then the third year, he was going to get $54 million. It's $54 million for the 3 years, or $73 million with the option in for 4 years. This was the Matt Chapman deal. Very similar. As my phone goes off, we're gonna ignore that right now. I'm busy with you guys. Does this not look very familiar to you guys? It's a Boris client that is not getting what he wanted and he demanded. Now, this is really interesting because, of course, Alonso got a 6-year extension offer. He turned that down with the free agency. Then he comes crawling back to the Mets and he's like, hey, guys, you want to take this deal, please? And the Mets are like, nah, this doesn't work for us. We're good. Back and forth. Even Cohen said it was exhausting when they had the fan fest, whatever they call it in New York and Queens. Ultimately, it came up with this. Let's go to the MLB.com so I can show you guys this. So, Alonso reportedly rejected a 7-year, $158 million extension offer. Now, this is, I believe, very close to what Matt Chapman got with the Giants the second year. Alonso said, nah, we're going to go for it. We want more money, a longer deal. Like 6 year, not a longer deal, but 6 years, and hold out the free agency. Let's build the competition up. We know we can get we know the market's going to be bleak, so we're going to get more. They were wrong. The market was bleak, but nobody was paying for first baseman. Nobody cared. Vladdy can't even get an extension approved, and they're offering $100 million less than what he wants. Whether or not he's like Pete Alonso making the same mistake, first basemen are just not valued much anymore. And mainly because I feel like that they can pull somebody from the outfield and bring them to first defensively, and they can be a really good bat. my Mariners are doing that with Luke Raley at this point. They're also cheap as shit, so they suck. The Mets, on the other hand, have money to spend. Now, he held up for a free agency, and then reportedly, now this is, I believe, what Boris offered the Mets, rejecting a three-year contract worth $70 million while flirting with other Cubs, as it says here. I believe that's what he exclusively offered the Mets. I could be wrong on that. You guys can put it down in the comments and I will check it out and I'll correct myself. But I'm pretty sure that's what he came back to them with, was like, hey, it's not going very good, guys. You're my home. I started with you in 2019. I hit 53 home runs, breaking the record for most home runs by a rookie. This is my home. Everybody loves me. You got Soto. You need some protection for that bat. I know you have Lindor, but you need me as well. Look at the Yankees. They had Soto. They added protection for Aaron Judge. And then on top of that, they also had Giancarlo. It wasn't that great, but it was great in the playoffs. So why don't you take me back? And they're like, nah, like, this doesn't work for us. We're not signing you 3 years, $70 million. Which is funny because Alonso comes back. They sit back at the table because Boris lost and finally agreed to a two-year deal. I'm assuming this is in hopes that they're going to do the Matt Chapman thing where he's going to go off this season, especially with that protection from Soto. You have Lindor in there. This roster's stacked offensively. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But you get the $10 million signing bonus up front. So a $20 million contract in 2025. Plus, if Alonso opts in, because he has an opt-out option, you'll get another $24 million the next season, which is actually less than what Matt Chapman was going to make, even though that one was backloaded, which means he's probably going to get an extension like Matt Chapman. I think that's what they're hoping for, especially since Cohen has unlimited money and all that stuff. But he's also like, he wants things to make sense because he doesn't like playing these stupid Boris games. Exhausting. It is. Scott Boris is annoying to deal with. I understand he's an advocate for the players, but teams aren't giving in. They're just not giving in. So I'm reading this as I go. The Mets also put a 3-year, $71 million contract in the deal. So they offered him that and he rejected it. I'm trying to remember. So that might correct me. I'm trying to remember what Alonso offered them. I don't know what the amount was, but 2 years, $54 million. $27 million a year? I mean, that's what it's equivalent to, the AAV. But I guess it's more than what I expected. I thought maybe you'd be able to get him for around 20 just because how long this is taking. Bregman's really the only one left. And a bunch of other guys were signed as well. But keep in mind, this is like the third bat that they've signed this offseason. I mean, and that's including Jesse Winker, who they just brought back. I think he's a good fit there. I think it's funny as hell. The banter that happened with Jesse Winker for the Mets while he was with the Nationals, while he was with the Mariners, while he was all over the place. He's always just this like provocative player, and the Mets hated him until he became a Met, which was ironic. And now they love him. And I think it's a good fit because he's just got that personality to him. Sorry, the Reds. That was another team that he was with that he was causing issues with. So brought him back, signed Soto, obviously generational bat, generational contract, the largest contract in sports history around the world, soccer, golf, whatever you want to call it. Largest contract ever. They picked him up. So you have a solid right field bat. Not good defensively, but he'll still get voted for Gold Glove for no reason at all, by the way. But the rest of it was pitching. Everything was pitching. Now, I understand the Mets lost Jose Quintana. They had lost Sean Manaea, but they brought him back. And then Luis Severino went over to the A's, and he didn't come back. I have no faith in who they signed for the rotation. Clay Holmes, relief pitcher, Yankees, sure. Starter, going back to be a starter, I don't have faith in him. I really don't. Frankie Montas has been spotty, overpaid starting pitcher for the longest time. I have nothing against these guys. I really don't. I could be completely wrong too. But I would have never offered them the contracts that they are given, and I would have looked somewhere else for other players as far as pitching goes in Queens. Simply, like, these two are not the guys I want to see in my rotation. AJ Minter, I think it was a great pickup. Ryan Stanek, that's a good homecoming. He was excellent in New York. He didn't do too great in Seattle, even though I was a huge fan of him. I loved seeing him on the mound. He can throw gas. These two are going to be great for the bullpen. These are some good additions. Now, let's go over. Let's just get out of this. Let's get out of the article side of things. I'm going to pull up the fan graphs because I think it's updated for the most part. So, yes, updated. Okay. Look at this roster. Now that they brought back Pete, there's none of this question of, like, what's going to happen with Brett Beatty? What's going to happen with Luis Angel Acuna? And it might be pronounced differently. I know Robbie Hyde says his name different, probably more authentic than me. But what's going to happen with those guys? Is Beatty going back down to AAA? Are they now really looking to get him moved over to another team because they kind of ran out of their road when it came to developing him? Is that what we are going with at this point? Mark Vianto staying at third. I think he absolutely should stay at third. He was thinking about coming over to first base. Third base is locked. Mark Vianto did great last year. It's awesome. Juan Soto's in your right field. Great. Hopefully your pitchers make everybody hit it to left field or center. Lindor, of course, shortstop. He's probably going to have a great year. But Pete Alonso, now, I don't know if this is going to be accurate as far as his number. Are we really going to have Nimmo at four, or are we going to have Nimmo at five, Vientos at two, and then Juan Soto at three for that protection right there? Or are we just right off the bat going to get a protection at bat with Pete Alonso there? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. My biggest question right now is center field. So you have a bunch of mediocre players that are good batting, good at base hits, hitting, getting on base. And then you have guys that can hit home runs more consistently, but most of the other time they're going to get out. For example, Jose Siri. I know he came over from Tampa, but a 187 batting average. I understand he had 18 home runs and 14 stolen bases. So he's fast and he has speed, but his contact sucks. 183. Or he hits the ball right to where they're at. I mean, one of the two. But do you trust him to be your number nine when you have Starling Marte, who you're paying a ton of money for, by the way, who hit 269 last season? I understand there's 448 batting plate appearances and then 370. That's not too much of a difference there, but I'm pretty sure that seven home runs can go up from Starling Marte. And he had 16 stolen bases. So he also still has speed, even though he's aging. I understand he's 36, but he's still got wheels, at least compared to Siri, who's 29. His slugging percentage is also higher, 388 versus 366. I don't know if this is accurate, but I would 1,000% put Starling Marte in center field over Jose Siri. I mean, I haven't looked at their splits, but that's just how I vibe. And then if Marte gets injured, throw Siri in there or Tyrone Taylor. Tyrone Taylor started looking better last season. So that's my only question I have for the Mets. Now, otherwise, Lindor, superstar. Soto, superstar. Pete Alonso, welcome home, buddy. You got 2 years, maybe. You at least have this year back home with Soto. This is a dangerous NL East team. Nimmo, he was amazing last year. Vientos, really showing his ability. Jesse Winker, really good at hitting in Queens, even though other ballparks wasn't that great. Reds, Mariners, He did decent. He did really good with the Nats. I'm surprised they let him go. I understand it's a contract thing. Francisco Alvarez, probably one of the best hitting catchers in the NL. I would say he is. Realmuto didn't do very good, so I would say him. Jeff McNeil, if he can stay healthy, you have a solid bat. And then your only hole right now that you're not sure about is center field, is your nine spot. This is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous lineup. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But Pete Alonso, he signed, and I want to hit on this as well. I called it from the beginning. Now, you're going to be like, sure you did. No, I did. I did. January 15th, I made this post at 4:53. So I said, it should be made clear Pete Alonso is a Met. He made an exclusive offer to the Mets. And the Mets, I'm quoting, but it's also a generalization. Nah, we're good. Why? This is the reason why. Because he already had a qualifying offer. The teams would have to lose a draft pick. And on top of that, they would have to give him the money that he's looking for, which the Mets weren't even interested in. So if the Mets are saying no to what he's offering to them, he's going to want to get more from another team because he has to move. There's a big transition. It's a new start. Like, the other teams are going to have to want to get him. On top of that, and I didn't put it in here, but the teams that need a first base don't have the budget for a first baseman. The ones that do have the budget for a first baseman don't need a first baseman. The Yankees, they got Goldschmidt. Rizzo's still out there. The Mets weren't going to get Rizzo. He was terrible last season. Dodgers don't need a first baseman. The Braves don't need a first baseman. The Red Sox, they have a first baseman, and they are trying to figure out if they're going to be able to get another third baseman, move Devers, or they're going to keep Casas, who's a generational hitter, supposedly, even though he's supposedly also very weird in the clubhouse and just a different guy. They don't need a first baseman. They don't need Pete Alonso. I'm trying to think of other teams with a lot of money. Like, the Phillies don't need a first baseman. Nobody needed a first baseman. But to also pay him what he's going to want and give up a draft pick, which, again, I'm not saying, and I said it was a non-starter for first base, but if the team needs a first baseman right now, it means they don't have a lot of money, which means they're dependent on the draft picks. You're going to sign him, and you're going to have to pay more than what the Mets have to pay, the second richest team in baseball per revenue and per owner's net worth, liquid wealth, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. They don't want to give up their draft pick, because their draft picks are very vital to saving money and having generational players possibly come through their system. I said it here from the beginning. He was going to be a Met. And it came true. What do you know? It was just more of a headache, because it was getting to a point where it was like, okay, there's got to be another team out there that's going to pick him up, because we are, this technically happened yesterday. We were February 5th of 2025. We have, what, a week and a half before pitchers and catchers report? Is it even? I think it's a week. Today's Thursday. I think is it a week? I got to check that again. It's way too late in the game. If anybody was going to pick him up, if the Mets were seriously off the board, which a lot of sources were saying that, which I didn't want to believe, but it was a possibility for sure. Someone was going to have to make a move, because you don't want him showing up mid-spring training. You want him to move, settle in, meet the team, go to meetings, talk to the players, hang out with the guys, get an idea of the group. There's a big issue with that when you sign way too late. I don't understand why people don't understand. I get that. I guess they play MLB The Show and they assume, oh, they can automatically transition. It's a big deal. It's a big transition. It takes a big toll on not only your family, but yourself, your all of your things. If you have animals, pets, those things play a factor. Jordan Montgomery didn't have a chance to do that, and he had a terrible season. Blake Snell signed a little bit before them with the Giants. It took him a while to settle in. On top of that, he had some hip issues, so he was kind of injured, but as soon as he got cleared up and he was able to settle in, really get to know his team. Of course, he was playing in probably the second or third best stadium as far as pitchers go. So he was able to, I believe he threw a no-hitter, right? It was a no-hitter. It was not a perfect game, it was a no-hitter. That's just an example. Like, you wanted to jump on board and get these guys signed, and we were getting way too late for Pete Alonso at this point. It was taking way, way too long to get him on board. So I'm trying to think if there's any other things I wanted to cover before we sign off. I wanted to make this relatively quick. I did a interview for Mariner Monday. I understand it came out yesterday. I apologize for that. We recorded on Monday and then it started snowing like crazy here and my internet was being a little bit funky. So with that said, go check out that live stream because we talked about Pete Alonso. We talked about kind of the money being moved around, what the Mariners should have been doing. We also did a little game called Yay or Nay, and this is basically deciding what players are going to do better in 2025 or be able to sustain what they did the year before and in 2025. And it's a blind reveal. It is look at their career numbers, look at what they did last year. Based on your opinion, do you think that they're going to improve or do you think they're going to drop? What's the idea? How old are they? What achievements have they had? And then at the end, they reveal it and it's, oh, okay. Well, I probably would have said yes, that they're going to do better next year because of their name. So it's changing perspective of things. Pete Alonso's in there. So it's good to get their information. Go to the live streams that that I posted on YouTube and be able to watch that again if you would like. There's chapters in there so you can skip ahead. You can play the game with us and see if what you think is your first thought or does the name of the player change it. It's a nice little science experiment. So if you guys haven't already, I appreciate you guys being here. Subscribe, like the video, share with anybody else who's Pete Alonso fans. If you have anybody who would think I'm wrong, please share with them because I would like to have a conversation with you in the comments. I typically respond. Again, you don't have to be a dick. You can be like, eh, I think you're wrong because of this, or this is the reason why this happened, or you got this wrong. That's fine. You can tell me, but say like you're a dumbass. Like I typically tried to still respond to those, but damn guys, chill out. I will see you guys on the next one. If any other big news goes, we're waiting on Bregman. We're waiting on Pivetta, which is eh. Last couple things, I guess other signings that happened. Tommy Pham signed 1 year deal to the Pirates. I don't have the number up. I know it was a 4 mil. Oh boy. Was it 4 mil? Yes, it was. Okay. 1 year, 4 mil to the Pirates for Tommy Pham. I think this is like his 19th team in the last, 365 days. So good for him. Good for the Pirates. They needed a good bat, good, strong personality to be in there. That's a veteran. So good for the Pirates. I'm just going to say they are trying their best for the NL Central to be somewhat competitive. Going to be kind of hard with the Cubs, I'll be honest, but good for them for doing it. I don't know if that has anything to do with the Players Association grievance that will be filed because owners are not spending money and it's just not fair competitively and to the players. Other news, MLB owners approve unanimously for John Seidler to be the Padres control person. So this lawsuit continues to carry over and Padre Burner on X, shout out to you again, buddy. You made a good point and it's very valid. Sheil, the widow of Peter Seidler, still fighting for control, even though they're not spending money and she has no control over right now. And she's trying to push for that stuff to happen. She makes more money because she is still a stakeholder in the Padres. So whatever money they don't spend and they make back in revenue, she gets more to profit from herself. And she's still fighting to get some ownership and control so she can make decisions to go spend money while it's not happening. So he's on the side of Sheil, obviously, so there's a little bit of partisan there, but it's a good point. She wants control. She wants to be able to spend money right now. She cannot because MLB has now unanimously decided that John Seidler would be the one who's in control, and they haven't done jack squat. As you guys know, I am also a Padres fan, so this sucks to see, and they're looking at getting rid of Michael King, even though they extended him, or I believe it was an agreed arbitration. And then Dylan Cease is like being shopped around, which also really sucks. So that's another thing that went down. And then Harrison Bader signs with the Twins. So he'll be replacing Max Kepler, I would assume. It's just a 1 year deal. He did. He had 236 with 12 home runs, 51 RBIs, 17 stolen bases in 25 attempts with the Mets last year. Now, he only played two postseason games out of the 12, but he's either going to be playing where Max Kepler was playing, or he's going to be, I guess, filling in for Byron Buxton whenever he gets injured. That's going to be my guess. And then the Angels also extended their lease in Anaheim's Angel Stadium through 2032. So they are there to stay, I guess. I don't know what's going on. I thought they were going to the Moreno family was going to sell the team. I guess they're not going to. Now that they have this commitment, they should probably go out and start building their team. And it's been a sad run. All right, I'll let you guys go. It's been too long. I just wanted to touch on some basic news that's happened. Also the Yankees re-signed Hill for a $2.85 million deal. So I just wanted to throw that out there. There is a video that's going to be coming out tomorrow. I'm going to edit today, talking about the Cardinals. If you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, I think you should watch it, because you deserve a lot better than what you're getting. And it's been a very interesting week when it comes to St. Louis based fans. And from what I've heard about the fan base, as you as a whole, you're incredible. You have an amazing stadium, and your ownership should be giving you a better team, and they should be listening to the players a lot more. Keep an eye on Arenado as well. So this will be very interesting. With that said, I'm gonna check comments. Nobody said anything. Awesome. Sweet. I will see you all beautiful people on the next one. Like, subscribe, share the video with any Pete Alonso fans or anybody else that likes the topics that we're talking about, because I would love to have a conversation with them, and I will see you all later.